Welcome to the King's Anywhere podcast, inspirational teaching, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whenever you're ready.
So, we're looking at standing in the gap, and we're going to be thinking about prayer today. And I'm just going to look at Romans 8, 26 to 27, if you want to be digging that out. In a minute. There's a quote about prayer which I quite liked. It's by someone called Dr. David Wells, and it says, "Prayer is rebellion against the status quo." I quite like that. Prayer is rebellion against the status quo. And we'll think about that as we go on. But Romans 8 says this, 26 to 27. "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." So Romans 8. And I'm sure many of you have read those verses and know those verses. And they're in the context of our minds being transformed. We've got the mind of the Spirit. You know, we don't follow the desires of the flesh, but our minds being transformed. And if we think about our verse for the year, it's about the transformation, isn't it, of our thinking. And so prayer is right in the heart of our minds being transformed and our lives being transformed. These verses tell us, basically, that we can't pray, like, effectively on our own. That's what the verses tell us, that we need to rely on the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it says that in Ephesians as well, doesn't it? Pray at all times, not just sometimes, not just, you know, a bit of time or when you feel like it time, but pray at all times in the Spirit. So these verses kind of make a finish line and a starting line for prayer, where you say, okay, there's nothing more that you can do, or there's nothing more that I can do in this situation, in these circumstances. I'm kind of out of words about what's happening. And it's kind of the end of our striving and the beginning, then. Do we see that? Do we see that, where we're out of words, where we don't know what to do? That it's actually the beginning, the start of prayer. And I don't know if you see prayer like that, but this is what these verses are telling us, that this is the start of prayer, when we can be honest where we are and let God be God. And it's kind of a shift in a focus from what we do to pray for what God does in our situations and circumstances. And it comes from, it's set in a foundation of this chapter, of the love of God, knowing that we're his children, knowing that we're loved by him. We start to pray under the influence of the Holy Spirit, according to the will of the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit. Our prayer lives can be lit up by the Spirit and can be set on fire by the Holy Spirit in the situations and in the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Paul said these words out of his own journey and experience of prayer within this chapter. So he knew what it was, Paul the Apostle, to receive help. So Paul is actually saying this. Paul the Apostle is saying, I need help to pray. I need the Holy Spirit when I pray. And he uses a word, he uses the word weakness, which, if you're interested in Greek words, which, you know, you may or may not be, is asthenia. And it means strengthless. Strengthless. And this word is, as with a lot of Greek words, they're quite multifaceted. And it means all sorts of things. It can mean physical weakness. So it can mean that in the body, so you've got a physical weakness. So it can mean that. It can mean mental. So, you know, you're struggling mentally. Weakness. It can mean emotional. That you're weak emotionally. It's very broad. It can mean, it's an all-inclusive word for humanity's weakness. It can mean financial, marital, social, relationship, spiritual weakness. It's an all-encompassing word. Paul is saying that we experience these weaknesses as humans. And it's not, that weakness is not sinful in and of itself. We're not in sin. It's a part of the human condition that we experience weakness, and we struggle with it. We struggle with it because of the fall. But weaknesses can come from different things. This is what this verse is telling us about. Can come from our body, so we can feel physically weak. Outside things can make us feel weak. Maybe the way that other people have behaved towards us in ways we do not like can make us feel weak. Circumstances conspire against us, and we can get discouraged. We can get perplexed, and sometimes we don't know where to turn. And this leads us to groan, to groan within ourselves. Our weaknesses lead us to groan. And Paul is telling us this is okay. This is the start of your prayer. It's all right. This is where the Spirit comes in. And this is where we start in our prayer. It's okay for that, to be in that place of weakness, because there is help. And the word for we don't know what to pray, it actually means, the emphasis of it could be the what. So what is the what? We don't know what to pray is the issue. That's the issue in the situation we're experiencing. So we don't know how to pray as we ought in a situation. Why is that? Because we don't always know or understand what's best. We can't work it out. We can't figure it out. We might come up with the wrong kind of end to this situation. We don't know everything in a situation, or we don't know what is right for us. And Paul is saying that the Holy Spirit helps us at that point and helps us to pray, sets our prayer life on fire in that point. And Paul experienced this, didn't he, in 2 Corinthians 12. 1 to 10. 2 Corinthians. Just finding 2 Corinthians 12. Where he talks about the thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians. So he says, I must go on boasting. There is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know. But God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool. Because even if I should choose to boast, sorry, I've said that again, because I would be speaking the truth. but I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. Because of these surpassing great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Wow. Okay, Paul. So, his natural reasoning says, this is not right, and the thorn in the flesh was not a good thing. It wasn't a good thing in his life. And he couldn't see how it could be a good thing. So his prayer was, get rid of it. Get it out of the way. Remove it. That was what he thought. But that was not what, in this situation, that wasn't what God had for him. And he learned to pray in that situation. It could have gone in the wrong direction, but he learned to acknowledge that actually what God wanted to do was what he wanted to do and not necessarily what he thought was the right thing to do. And he probably couldn't imagine that thorn in the flesh was going to produce good. Couldn't imagine it, but it did. It did produce good in his life, and God knew best in his life. And so we have that time, don't we, where we're perplexed at times and don't know how to pray. And we're ashamed to admit it quite openly, but God's all right with that. God's all right with that honesty. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, he said, not my will, but your will, didn't he? He came round to that. He learned obedience from the things that he suffered. He offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears. He learned obedience, and we can be encouraged by that. So for us, it's that allowing the Spirit to acknowledging our weaknesses, that it's all right, and that's the starting point of what God wants to do, and our openness to him. The Holy Spirit is getting you to heaven. That's his job. He's getting you forever to heaven. And your prayer life, his purpose in your prayer life, is along those lines. So he wants to pray you to be with Jesus forever. He's praying through you to get you, according to God's will, to be with Jesus forever. It says that in the chapter of Romans 8, which these verses of prayer are sat within, that we are headed to be glorified with him forever. And sometimes when we go through difficulties, there can be a bit of a lie, can't there, of the enemy that says, you know, if you were a child of God, you wouldn't be in this difficulty. Or, you know, you don't really know what to pray. So you're not really a child of God because you don't even know what to pray. And the enemy can do that. He can sow lies when we're going through difficult times. So call yourself a child of God. Look at you. And that's a strategy of the enemy. And these verses expose that strategy, because a few verses before it says that we should be confident that we're children of God and that we know who we are. And then it talks about praying in weakness. And so actually the reverse is true, that this weakness that we experience is leading us to a greater understanding that we are a child of God, and more proof that we are his child. And the Holy Spirit, he fills in the gaps. He stands in the gap in our prayers. And sometimes he stands in the gaps of our obedience and stepping out. And he speaks to us. And I loved what John Max said about listening to the Holy Spirit in his weakness. And then God, the Holy Spirit, pointed to what he wanted to do this morning. And so he's taking that place of weakness and allowing the Holy Spirit to direct his thinking, his obedience, and where he's going. And the Holy Spirit does that. He fills in the gaps. And when you don't feel courage when he's asking you to step out in obedience, he can fill in the gap by the things that he says to you. You know, I remember walking through the corridors of M&S, and I'd been putting off and putting off and putting off speaking to the manager about chaplaincy, putting it off. Because once you speak to the manager, then it's out the bag then. And then you've got to do something about it. So I was just putting it off. I'm walking down the corridor, and the Holy Spirit just says, remember what I said to you about the chaplaincy and speaking to the manager? Oh, yeah. Okay, God. If I see the manager, I'll speak to them. I swipe the doors, and there she is, stood directly in front of me. The Holy Spirit will bridge the gap of your failure sometimes of courage and not wanting to step out and obedience, because he's there to do that, to strengthen you in your weakness. That's what he does. He fills the gap. So, moving on, we've talked about the start of prayer in our weakness. Now we want to move on to help. The word for help is here in this, and I love this word. I just think it's an amazing word. Our word is so small, it just says help, and that's it. But this word has lots of nuances about it. And I want to ask you, it says here, basically, in these verses, that the Holy Spirit is an advocate for us in our prayers. So the Holy Spirit speaks for you in our prayers, in the situations that you're facing, and when we're praying for situations and circumstances, he is an advocate that speaks to you for you. Now, I wonder what you think about that. How do you feel? How do you feel about that? Because, you know, sometimes we don't like help, do we? You know, sometimes we struggle with the thought of, actually, somebody's going to help me, you know, because I want to sort it myself. And so we have to be aware that sometimes our situations, sometimes our upbringing, sometimes our own ways that we've learnt in our parenting is not the way that God is. And our mindsets, he wants to change, and he wants to set us free from those lies. I was thinking of that song that Rach, when we've sang that song earlier, and part of that song says that he will come. So think about what you've sang. He will come. Do you believe that? He will come. And part of breaking down things and being set free from the lies of the enemy is if you've been through situations in your life where, well, actually, they didn't come, or I've been let down, or I've been discouraged, the Holy Spirit takes off those lies in our thinking, in our relationship with God, because that can be a source of unbelief in your situations and in your circumstances. And the Holy Spirit wants to set you free from those things, those lies that we've talked about. He wants to bring a freedom to us. So, when you get a manual for something, it gives you help to fix something. You get instructions to put something together. And that's not what this word means. That's a very minimal way of thinking about the help that the Holy Spirit wants to bring to us. He is there to transform our prayers into what the Father wants for you, and what, as we're praying for others, what the Father wants for others. And he does that in as we recognize our weaknesses and we allow him to change us and transform our prayer lives. He wants to do that. And that's about surrender, which isn't easy. But we have to surrender to him. And if you think about it, our prayer life is probably one of the best gauges of your surrender, of the level of your surrender to God, isn't it? If you think about it, because you're praying for the Holy Spirit, the God gap in your situations and circumstances. So it's a good kind of gauge of how surrendered your life is to him. So sun means to stand. So this word is sun. Anti-lambano, and I was thinking, we were singing a song earlier about help, weren't we? The help, God comes with help. We couldn't really fit that word in, could we? Sun anti-lambano would make that song just, it just wouldn't fit. But it's actually three words in one, in these verses. Three words about help, the Holy Spirit bringing help. There are three words in these verses of help. Now that's got to say to you, he is keen. The Holy Spirit is keen to help you in your prayer and in your situations and in your circumstances. And faith on your part opens the doors to him, to that help. So we need to break off the lies of the enemy that we're living with, to bring that freedom and to bring that release of what he wants to do in our situations and circumstances. So, son, to stand with or to join in endless union with, the Holy Spirit is with you forever, even in all of your weaknesses. Dear God, thank you. I can't get my head around that. That God, the Holy Spirit, would join with you forever with all of your weaknesses, my weaknesses. Can't get my head around that. But that's the help that he has for us. His job is to stand in endless union, to come to our aid, to help us to pray, to know our Father's will, devoted to assisting us in taking hold of God in prayer. He is an inside track on your Heavenly Father and knows exactly what you need in your situation and circumstances. And he is with you, to standing with you in endless union. Anti means to come to the aid of, to take another's cause, to serve, to do another's job, to do an act of kindness on behalf of another, or to devote oneself to the practice of assisting someone else. He wants to do that, but you've got to let him. And it's our, at times, our unbelief or our lack of understanding of how much God loves us that restricts what he wants to do in your life. And it's the faith posture that he wants you to have in your prayer life. And finally, the third word is lambano. lambeno. And it means to take firm hold of, grasp, get a grip on. Nick Harding uses this phrase about prayer, and I wonder if he got it from this verse, but he says it's where the heavy lifting takes place in a situation or a circumstance. It's where the heavy lifting takes place, and that's the meaning of this word, to take firm hold of, grasp, get a grip on, to take or receive a gift, or to gain an advantage. So it can mean the overcoming of an enemy by use of force, this word. So it's taking the weight. So as we pray to God, the Holy Spirit is wanting to take the weight. So he's coming alongside you and you're struggling. He's coming and he's lifting the weight with you. That's what this word, he's yoked with you. And he's lifting the weight. And so, such encouragement from these verses. Such encouragement for our prayer life and what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to set our prayer lives on fire. On fire. On fire. He wants to enthuse you with faith, take off the scales and step into what he has. He wants to release that through in you and through you. Sometimes I know when I was in Madrid, sometimes we the Holy Spirit does different things. So when I was in Madrid, I was praying for someone. And I felt the Holy Spirit just give me a new tongue that I'd never spoken in. I'd never spoken in this tongue before. And I was just praying for this person. And it was what the Holy Spirit was doing in that person. He was doing something new in that person. And the sign of that was the tongue that he'd given to me, this new tongue that I was just praying over someone. And I could see that God was really moving and impacting them. Other times it can feel like you're just praying ordinary prayers. It can feel like that. But each time we're to ask the Holy Spirit, if we ask the Holy Spirit to help us, lead us in our praying, it's important that we do it by faith. That we keep praying by faith. We keep going in our prayer lives. Because that consistency is important so that we are positioned to receive the help of the Holy Spirit. Things happen when we pray with the Holy Spirit, and that's what he wants us to do. We'll begin to hear the Holy Spirit's voice when we pray. He knows how you hear him. He wants to speak to you. He wants you to learn to recognize his voice. He wants you to learn to recognize him, to hear him, to get used to his voice for you. That's what he wants to do. And he knows you as an individual. And he will speak to you in a way and help you to learn to hear his voice in a way that you can hear and that you can understand, because he made you. He loves you. And that's what he wants to do. And for me, very often, it's nature. Often God speaks to me loads through nature. I've not got time to go into it. But going on, often the Holy Spirit will bring scripture to mind that he wants to use while we are praying. The Holy Spirit loves the word of God. The Holy Spirit loves the word of God. The Bible is called the sword of the Spirit. And it's the weapon that the Holy Spirit uses with absolute skill. And if we're praying and we find ourselves praying for long without using the scripture, let's stop. Goodness me. I don't know. Let's stop and ask the Holy Spirit to give us a scripture. to pray. That happened to this week. I was praying with someone, and had a scripture that came to mind, read the scripture, and we prayed around the scripture. So the Holy Spirit brings the Bible to mind. He moves us in our prayer life into a deep love for Jesus, to have that fire, that love for Jesus, that passion for Jesus. And prayer is that arena where our love for Jesus is cultivated. He puts a spotlight on Jesus. He shifts our prayer requests to the heart of Jesus and what God wants. So God's desire to make himself known through Jesus. We've heard about that this morning, people talking to people, because that's his desire, and the Holy Spirit leads us into that. His desire for people to come back to him. The Holy Spirit wants you to know that you are loved by God and that you are secure in your identity and that you know who you are. So I'm just going to skip way ahead because there's something that I wanted to get to. So we know Finding Nemo, don't we? We've all watched Finding Nemo. And Nemo's kind of stuck in a tank and he wants to get out into the ocean. And I want to suggest to you that that it's a little bit like our prayer lives, because our prayer lives can be in a tank. They can be bound in a tank, but as Lillian said about being in heavenly places, we're not supposed to be bound in the tank of prayer. We're supposed to be in the ocean of prayer, in the high places of prayer, and having that perspective that God has for us. And I want to just suggest that we have different cultures, don't we? And I don't know, I want to suggest that in the West, we have a culture that we may be swimming and we're not aware of. So I spent 21 years in, as most people do, in education. So in that education, I'm taught about logic. I'm taught about reason. I'm taught about religion. And I spent nearly a third of my, tell you how old I am. But a long time in education. And you would think that that is going to affect the way I think and my perspectives. And it's a box that I've grown up in. And it's a box that I think in. When I was 7, I had an experience where I was at home and on my own in the house. My parents were downstairs. I keep forgetting that I need to say that for safeguarding reasons. they were downstairs when I was upstairs. And I had this experience. Okay, I was just on my own thinking about, and I had details wrong. You know, I was thinking about why did Jesus die on a cross? And you know, I had it as a funeral. This is a funeral. There's, that's what it is. And in that moment, something happened to me, which broke me as a child out of this cultural box that I'm in. I suddenly realized that there is a spiritual world. There is a supernatural world. Because I met with Jesus and I was overwhelmed by the love of God. I was crying and I asked him to come into my life. And that experience has just set a gauge. Even when I'm facing all of the education that tells me it's religion, there is no such thing as you know, miracles, it's logic, it's science, it's this meets that. That reset my thinking out of the box. And so, you know, when our kids were little, that was one of the things that we wanted to do as when our family was little. I wanted my kids to have a culture of the spiritual in the home, because I had experienced it, and it's what held me. It's what kept me. That's why I'm here. And I just want to, if we've been given the opportunity to have a move of the Holy Spirit, that's what God wants to do. And what I want to encourage you to do and ask you, have you got that culture at home in your prayer life where you get out of the Western cultural mindset and box, and your prayer life is on fire? And in the home, you've got a culture of faith, of encounter, of being with Jesus. And that's the culture in your home that you want to establish. And I know Sam gave me permission to share. He was part of that culture. I had permission to share this story beforehand. But we had that culture at home when the kids were little. And we need to be careful that we don't become philosophical supernaturalists. Philosophical supernaturalists, because of our culture and the way that we're brought up in the West. Because other cultures sometimes can respond, can't they, better? And I just want to read Acts 2, 32. This is the reason the box is blown. Okay. This is the reason we live out of the box as followers of Jesus, and we don't live in our Western culture. Okay. Acts 2, 32 to 33. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and he has poured out what you now see and hear. We are people that is called to the supernatural. We are people that is that are called to live out of the box. This quote, it says, like nothing else in human history, the single act of Christ's resurrection permanently blows the lid off the box and into the supernatural. In light of the resurrection, we are all invited to step out of the box. Jesus said, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Very truly, I tell you, this is what else he says, whoever believes in me, whoever believes in me, will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To find out more about King's Church Warrington, visit our website or find us on Facebook and Instagram.